Turn, if you would, to John chapter 1, and then put your finger in Ephesians chapter 1 as well. John chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 1. So good to be here this morning. The name of the message is Full of Grace and Truth. Full of Grace and Truth. John chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 14 to 17, and Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Full of grace and truth. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The very Word spoken of in John chapter 1. 1 to 3, who said, which Scripture declares, the Word was God, in verse 3. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him, and cried, saying, this is He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of His fullness have we all received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Note it says, full of grace and truth in verse 14, and then it says, in grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 16 that we have received grace for grace. And in Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23, Scripture declares, and hath put all things under His feet, being Christ, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. The fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Full of grace and truth is the message name. And today I'd like us to consider how the Lord Jesus Christ is full of grace and full of truth. We who believe on Christ, we look fully to Him and Him alone for the salvation of our souls. God's elect, His people, we who are born again by the Holy Spirit, have ceased to look to ourselves for our own salvation, which we did at one time, thinking that if we were good, that, well, maybe we could get to heaven. And then God revealed Himself in the Scripture, and He revealed what we are. Sinners in absolute desperate need for Christ. And He revealed to us that there's none good, no, not one. There's none that understandeth God. There's none that seeketh after God. And we return to Christ, to the One who is full of grace and truth. And we who believe on Christ, we look fully to Him, don't we? We look fully to Christ. And to Him alone. He alone is our redemption. He alone. I have no redemption outside of Christ. None at all. He alone is the Savior of our souls. He alone. We have been taught by God the Holy Spirit through the preaching of His Word and by revelation of God that we cannot save ourselves. But the good news is Christ saves sinners. He saves sinners. Desperate, needy, hopeless, bankrupt sinners. What grace! What grace we have received from God the Father in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have received an abundance of grace, beloved. An abundance of grace. Grace that is rich, grace that is full, and grace that is free. Because it's all based upon what Christ has done, not what we do. Rich, full, free. And it's in Christ and Him alone. Let us first look at how our Lord is full. Now the Greek word for fullness here means, figuratively, fullness, full measure, and abundance. Generally, one of the Greek dictionaries said, generally as it's used in verse 16, it speaks of a state of fullness. Christ had a state of fullness, beloved. He was full of grace and full of truth. He's perfect. He's spotless. He's sinless. The complete opposite of us. He's fully man and yet fully God. The perfect, spotless Lamb of God. And He is absolutely full of grace and absolutely full of truth. The Greek word again is defined as that which fills up, full measure, entire content. I like this, complete. There's nothing lacking in our Savior. Nothing at all. So with that in mind, let us read the two verses again. Verse 16 of John chapter 1 and verse 23 of Ephesians. And of His fullness have all we received in grace for grace. And of His fullness have all we received in grace for grace. And in verse 23 in Ephesians chapter 1, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. I want us to consider this, that there is a fullness of the eternal deity in Christ. He is fully God and He is fully man. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 says this, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in Colossians 1:19 it says, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. So our first point is the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ. And think of this. For we who have been redeemed, there is a fullness of atoning efficacy in Christ's blood, beloved. Turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. A fullness in what His blood's done for us. A fullness in that. And the believer rests in this. This is our hope. Christ and Him alone. What He's done for us. And all the fullness that's in Christ. Look at 1 John 1:7. And we see the fullness of the atoning blood of Christ. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, what? Cleanses us from all sin. Do you see the fullness of the precious blood of Christ, beloved? We're not just forgiven for some sins. All. Oh, what a fullness in the precious blood of Christ and its atoning power, beloved. The blood of Christ gives us complete justification before God. Complete justification before God. The blood of Christ gives us complete pardon before God. All our sins are forgiven. The blood of Christ gives us complete deliverance from all our sins. Oh, and this cleansing, beloved, this cleansing that the blood of Christ does, it's perpetual and it's eternal. Because Scripture declares God remembers your sins what? No more. That's wonderful news for sinners. Has God shown you that you're a sinner? I pray that He will. I pray that He will. Good news for sinners. And there is a fullness in the justification that the believer has in Christ. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. There's a fullness of the justification that we have in Christ. So we saw the fullness of the atoning efficacy in Christ's blood, that it cleanses us from all sin, beloved. And there's a fullness of justification in Christ. Look at this in Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? We have peace. With who? With the one who we offended. We have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Note the words, we have. It's not something we will have. It's something we have. The believer has peace with God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are what? Justified by faith. Justified. You who believe are justified and accounted righteous before the holy God of the universe right now. That's almost too much for my mind to comprehend. But it's absolutely incredible. That's what the Scripture declares. We don't always feel that way, do we? Because we're sinners, right? But that's what the Scripture declares. That we are justified in Christ, in Him alone. And we are accounted before the holy God of the universe, the one who cannot have sin in His presence. We are counted righteous, justified. Oh, is this not grace? Is this not mercy beyond words and beyond compare? My. And therefore, being justified, we have what? Peace with God. Peace with the very one we sinned against. Peace. And this peace arises from the fact that it's in and it's through Christ and Him alone. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. We are righteous in God's sight. Our sins are forgiven. And we are holy and unblameable in God's sight because of Christ and His righteousness and what He did for us on Calvary's cross. Is this not mercy? And think of this, though. That's for we who are in Christ. Outside of Christ, a man is not justified. He stands before a holy and righteous God. A God who demands absolute perfection. And he stands before that God, the one true God, unjustified, and with no peace with God. What mercy we who believe have received. And note the text says this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray if you don't know Christ that God would grant you faith to believe. Because that's what He's done for we who believe. The next point is there's a fullness of righteousness in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Turn there if you would. There's a fullness of righteousness in Christ. A fullness of righteousness which we could never obtain on our own. But the believer has it in Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us. Our sins were imputed to the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He's perfect. He's spotless. Who knew no sin? No sin in thought, no sin in word, no sin in deed. He's perfect. And He's perfect as He's dying upon that cross, beloved. and our sins are imputed to Him. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Christ our Lord, who had no sin, knew no sin, and did no sin, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, has the sins of His people imputed to Him. He was numbered with the transgressors, although He personally had no sin at all. And He dies the substitute of His people before God's holy law. And He dies, beloved. He dies for we who have no righteousness of our own. No righteousness in ourselves by our works, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Mercy. And we are justified by faith in Christ, in His perfect, spotless righteousness is what the believer is right now clothed in. It'll make your heart sing. My. Someone said once, the gospel can be summed up in two words, and I love this. It's so true. Two words. Two words, beloved. Substitution and satisfaction. Two words the gospel can be summed up in. Christ was the sinner's substitute, and God is absolutely 100% satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. My! Christ as our substitute has made full and complete satisfaction for the believers, for His people, before God's holy law and righteous justice. And in Him, we who are wholly sanctified, redeemed, we are completely and eternally saved. And we have His perfect, spotless righteousness. My, what a Savior. What a Redeemer. And there's a fullness. Turn, if you would, to John 14, 19. There's a fullness of life in Christ, beloved. John 14, 19. There's a fullness of life in Christ. Look what He speaks here in John 14, 19. Look at this. This is beautiful. Yet a little while, and the world seeth Me no more. But ye see Me. Ye see Me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Now the world saw the man Christ Jesus, right? They saw Him with fleshy eyes. But they never really saw Him. Nor did they really know Him. And soon after this text, He would go to Calvary's cross, and He would be crucified, and He would die upon that tree, and He would be buried, but He would rise from the grave, beloved. And now He is exalted to the right hand of God. And the world would see Him no more in Revelation. But the believer sees Christ, don't we? By the revelation of God. By Him revealing Himself to us through the preaching of His Word. And the believer has been given what? Eyes to see Christ. And ears to hear His voice. To hear the shepherd's voice through the preaching of the gospel. The "see Me" in our text there, when He says, yet a little while and the world seeth Me no more, but ye see Me. that see me there is not with fleshy eyes, but that seeing there is seeing Christ by faith. Seeing Christ by faith. Seeing Christ is the eternal God. Seeing Christ as God incarnate in the flesh. Seeing Christ as all my righteousness. Seeing Christ as all our redemption. Seeing Christ as our mediator. And seeing Christ as our Lord. We don't make Him Lord. He reveals to us that He is Lord. That He is Lord. My goodness. And He's our life, beloved. Think of this. We who never saw Him in the flesh. Think of this. We who never saw Him in the flesh. I ask you, believer, do you not see Him all through this world? Do you not see Him all through this world? We see Him in the Scriptures. We see Him in the Old Testament sacrifices. We see Him on Calvary's cross, bleeding and dying for my sins. We've been given eyes to see Him. And because He lives, the text says, because He lives, we will live. He's the giver of life. He's the giver of life as our Redeemer. He's the purchaser. He's the purchaser of our eternal life. He did that which is impossible for us, to save ourselves. And He purchased eternal redemption. He obtained eternal redemption for us, for the believer. And we have eternal life in and through Him, because He is the eternal God. Someone asked me this week, they started talking about losing your salvation. And I said, it's impossible for a believer to lose their salvation. These couple of religious guys, and they're just going off. And I said, I'll ask you one question, or two questions. I said, is Christ God? Is He eternal? And of course, they have to answer yes, right? So I said, if the life that Christ gives, if He's God and He's eternal, would it not be eternal life? He's the giver of life. He's the eternal one. So this life, again, see, what they're thinking is that life depends upon them. It doesn't. And when God reveals Himself, and I pray that if God will ever reveal Himself to them, they will learn that. That salvation's of the Lord. Right now they're lost and thinking that they're working out their own salvation, and they're not. And I pray God will save them. But it's His will whom He saves, isn't it? Because He's God. So for the believer, Christ is our life. He's our life. And because He lives, we shall live eternally. Next point is there's a fullness of sanctification in Christ. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31. There is a fullness of sanctification in Christ. And these are just precious truths for the believer. First Corinthians 1, verse 30 and 31. But of Him, again writing to believers, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, what? Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And I love the next verse. You've got to read the next verse with it. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. God's people are sanctified in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're made holy in Christ. Paul penned this, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, sanctified in Christ. There's a fullness, again, of our sanctification in Christ. 1 Peter, Peter writes this, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. We are sanctified. Again, sanctified in Christ. And the Holy Spirit has us grow in the grace and knowledge and truth of Him. But we are sanctified in Christ. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ, of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So the fullness of sanctification. Turn, if you would, to Acts 20. Acts 20, verse 32. The fullness of sanctification is in Christ, and it's to all His people, beloved, because we are complete in Christ. That's what 1 Corinthians 1:30 was saying, that we're Christ to us is all wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. There's a fullness in Christ. See, we're empty, bankrupt. But oh, what a fullness the believer has in Christ. Look at Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them who are what? Sanctified. How are they sanctified? In Christ. In Christ. There's a fullness of sanctification in Christ, in Him alone. Now this is a point that's dear to me. Turn, if you would, to Jude chapter 1, verse 24. There's a fullness of perseverance in Christ. Now we sinners know what we are. We know that if it was up to us to persevere, we'd be doomed, wouldn't we? But look at this wonderful, wonderful little portion of Scripture. Jude 24 and 25. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. Now just let that sink in, beloved. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. And to present you, now here we go, faultless. Brother Dick, you'll be presented to Christ when you go home to God. Faultless. Absolutely faultless. We have that right now in Christ. Faultless. Look at this. Before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. God will present His people. Oh, God, Christ will present His bride to God. Faultless. And He does it with exceeding joy. Why? Because He purchased our eternal souls. He purchased our eternal souls. But note, and then it goes to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and ever. That's just a doxology of praise flowing out of Jude for what God has done for him. But note here, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. There's a fullness of perseverance in Christ. A fullness of perseverance in Christ. He will keep His people from falling. And He will present us. He will present the church, His bride, faultless before the presence of His glory. And here, do it with exceeding joy. What a fullness of perseverance the believer has in Christ. My. There is a fullness of victory in Jesus Christ our Lord. A fullness of victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says this, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The believer has victory over the law in Christ, because Christ answered all the demands of the law, of God's holy law, in the sinner's place on Calvary's cross and in his life Because don't forget, he was living a substitutionary life for us too. And the believer has victory over death and over the grave. Because Christ lives, we shall live too. And he lives forevermore. And because we are one with him, by God's sovereign grace and mercy, the believer in Christ has eternal life in him. Look at this. Look at the victory that the believer has as we look at Romans chapter 8, verses 33 to 39. Now, we looked at 33 in Sunday school, but I want to continue down here. Now, think of this. We've looked at that. We have a fullness of justification, the fullness of all our sins forgiven in Christ, an absolute fullness. Now, look at this. This is wonderful. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Now, examine yourself, and we know we're just sinners. And we know that in ourselves there's a lot that could be bought, right? But look what Scripture declares about the blood-bought saint of God. Although we're sinners, we are forgiven. Who shall lay anything? Anything to the charge of God's elect. That means any sin. It is God that justifies. If God has justified me, then no one can bring it or lay any charge against me. And then look what it continues to say. Who is he that condemneth? Well, we know that our own hearts can condemn us, right? Because we know what we are. But look what Scripture declares. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. What a Savior. What a Redeemer. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Well, we saw in Jude, right? He's the one who keeps us, isn't he? So who shall separate the believer from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. So any circumstance that would come up in our lives, any, shall that separate us from the love of Christ? No. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Beloved, we have the victory. How? Through him that loved us. Through Christ. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My. Now let us consider the fullness of the unspeakable blessings we have in Christ in our text. Christ is the fullness of grace. The hymn writer wrote, plenteous grace in him is found, grace to cover all my sins. And he can cleanse the greatest sinner, beloved. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 51. He can cleanse the greatest sinner. Just ask any of us who are saved. He can cleanse the greatest sinner. My goodness, beloved. And we will tell you, every believer will tell you, I'm the chief of sinners. Look at Psalm 51, verses 1 to 9. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. And this is, Christ is full of grace, beloved. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. And beloved, he has done that for all his people in Christ Jesus our Lord. He has done that. He is full of grace, beloved. Our text in 1 John, or in John 1:16, said this, and of the fullness have we all received in grace for grace. Beloved, He is full of grace, full of mercy. And then John 1:17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Think of this. Grace to pardon. Grace to regenerate. Grace to sanctify. Grace to preserve. Grace to protect. Grace to pardon all my sins. It's all in Christ, in Him alone. It's all in Him, beloved. Plenteous grace in Him is found. Grace to cover all my sins. And here's a scripture for you to burn into your heart. Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. No more. That's God says that about His people who have been washed and cleansed in the precious blood of Christ. My. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Remember Psalm 51:9? Hide thy face from all my sins and blot out all my iniquities. And the Lord... And God says, in their sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. What a salvation we have in Christ. The last point is, Christ is full of truth. Let's go back to our text in John 1, verses 16 and 17. And just a few words on this. And of His fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We know from studying Scripture and from the Holy Spirit revealing it to us that all the Old Testament sacrifices were types and shadows, but Christ is the substance. We know Colossians tells us that they were all types and shadows, but Christ is the substance of all those. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And God has pronounced, prophesied, pictured, and promised the Messiah. And now He produces the truth incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis, He promised, and I will put an enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Micah says this, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. Always remember this, that our God delights in mercy. And He has shown us mercy and grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities and will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. They're gone. The believer's sins are gone. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which Thou hast sworn unto our fathers from days of old. Turn over to John chapter 14, verse 6. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is full of truth, beloved. He is truth incarnate. Truth incarnate. Oh, what mercy God has to His people in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. That means there's no other way. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. The truth. That means there's no other truth but Him. He's truth incarnate. And the life. And we know that we don't have it. No one has eternal life outside of Christ, right? And then look what he says. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That wipes out all the religions of the world. There's only salvation in Christ alone. In Christ alone. Christ proclaims. Now remember. Remember who this is proclaiming this. This is God incarnate in the flesh. And Christ Himself, God Himself, proclaims that He is the way, and that He is the truth, and that He is the life. He is truth incarnate, beloved. Truth incarnate. God and man, fully God and fully man. Truth. He's the sum and substance of all truth, beloved. All the types and shadows have their fulfillment in Him. And He is the true way in opposition to every false way. And there's a lot of false ways out there. Pilate said, "What is truth?" Our Lord answers in John 14:6, "I am the way, the life, and the truth." He didn't answer Pilate that, but he answers that question, doesn't he? He answers that question right there. Turn, if you would, to Revelation 3:14, and we're closed with this scripture. Beloved, He is truth. For He is truth itself. All the scriptures center around Him. He's full of grace and truth. He's the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Revelation 3:14, "And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness." The beginning of the creation of God. The faithful and the true witness. That's who Christ is. In Christ is the truth of God's love. In Christ is the truth of God's grace. And in Christ is the truth of God's mercy. Heavenly Father, we come before Thy throne in awe of our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We who believe are in absolute awe of who You are, Lord. What comfort You can give to the sinner who comes to Thee, knowing that all our sins are forgiven. You've blotted out the transgressions of Your people by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we who believe leave here rejoicing today. And may You use this message for Your glory and Your honor and Your praise. In Jesus' name, amen.